Bis zum 7. Mai kannst du dich noch zum Female Leadership Programm anmelden. Im Juni geht es los. Sprich jetzt mit deinem Arbeitgeber oder buche als Privatzahlerin zu stark vergünstigten Konditionen auf female-leadership-academy.de. Herzlich willkommen zum Female Leadership Podcast. Mein Name ist Vera Strauch und ich bin Host hier im Podcast, in dem es darum geht, dass du deinen ganz eigenen Stil im Job und Leben findest und deinen Weg mutig und selbstbewusst gehst. In dieser Folge geht es um die Arbeit mit dem inneren Kind. Dazu habe ich eine ganz besondere Interviewgästin zu Besuch, nämlich Margaret Paul. Sie ist die Entwicklerin bzw. eine der beiden Entwicklerinnen dieses Modells, dieser inneren Kindarbeit, die ich persönlich als sehr, sehr bereichernd erlebt habe. Mir ist ihre Arbeit das erste Mal zufällig mit ihrem Buch in die Hand gefallen und mich hat das sehr bewegt und berührt, nur mit diesem Buch zu arbeiten. Und seitdem arbeite ich ganz regelmäßig und auch in indirekter Form in meinen Kursen, in meiner Arbeit mit diesen Inner Bonding-Ansätzen, über die wir in dieser Folge gesprochen haben. Und Margaret ist Psychologin, Psychotherapeutin, hat gemeinsam eben mit ihrer Kollegin Erika Czopic diese Therapiemethode des Inner Bondings entwickelt und das ist sehr, sehr kraftvoll und auch sehr individuell, was ich dann damit mache, was mich persönlich bewegt, ganz tief und vielleicht auch zurückhält, beeinflusst und es ist wirklich ein ganz herzerwärmend und gleichzeitig aber auch intellektuell stimulierendes Thema und ich bin unglaublich froh, die Gelegenheit gehabt zu haben, mit ihr für mein Buch zu sprechen und unser Gespräch haben wir aufgezeichnet, sodass es hier heute im Podcast erscheinen kann. Margaret arbeitet seit vielen Jahrzehnten als Therapeutin, ist wirklich auch sehr eloquent, sehr klar und sehr herzlich dabei. Ihre Arbeit hat auch viele andere kluge Modelle inspiriert und ist wirklich etwas Vorgedachtes, das es schon seit Jahrzehnten auch gibt. Und ich freue mich deswegen umso mehr, das heute mit dir hier teilen zu können. Kurzer Hinweis, die Folge ist in englischer Sprache. Wir haben auf Englisch gesprochen, sie ist aber sehr, sehr gut zu verstehen. Deswegen ist es so ein schönes Gespräch, dass ich dich wirklich einlade, dran zu bleiben, zuzuhören, auch wenn du vielleicht dich nicht ganz so sicher im Englischen fühlst. Es lohnt sich auf jeden Fall und es ist auch okay, nicht jedes Wort zu verstehen. Jetzt freue ich mich sehr und wünsche dir ganz viel Freude und dann legen wir gleich mal los. Welcome to the show, Margaret. I am so happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Your work with the inner child. I read the book. I read the workbook. I worked through it. And this whole inner bonding process, it really changed me. I was deeply impressed by your work and how practical it was, but also how deeply moving and transformative by that. So I am very excited to talk to you today. Maybe we just start with some warm-up questions, just to dive into the topic. Is there any question or maybe a topic that you're particularly interested at the moment? It doesn't have to do anything with our what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, what you were talking about was discomfort. And, you know, so many people are so afraid of anything that they feel that doesn't feel good and they don't know how to deal with it. And this is so important because in my, you know, many years of experience, I've been doing this now for 54 years, our discomfort has very important information for us and that it's letting us know that in inner bonding language, we're abandoning ourselves. We're not loving ourselves. We're not taking care of ourselves. It also lets us know things that are happening externally. It lets us know things that are happening with people or situations. So discomfort is not something to avoid. It's mm-hmm. something to learn to embrace. And of course, we can talk more about that.
Love that. Do you remember a situation where you felt particularly uncomfortable? When you would like
That's
to share?
A funny question. Because I was uncomfortable most of my life until inner bonding, until spirit actually brought through inner bonding to Dr. Erika Czopic and I. I had spent most of my life being very anxious, feeling very insecure, feeling very uncomfortable with people, with my family, just, you know, most of the time not feeling safe, not feeling comfortable. And so, yeah, I mean, I can pick many, many situations of discomfort. I don't have that many now in my life, which is great because I've learned to attend the moment I feel anything other than peaceful and full inside. I've learned to attend to the discomfort. I mean, there's always going to be discomfort in life. There's always going to be things that are difficult, but I don't hang out in that feeling anymore the way that I used to. But, you know, I can say that probably the time in my life where I felt the most discomfort was in my marriage, probably after about 20 years of my marriage, when I finally started to recognize that I was giving myself up, that I was caretaking everybody, my kids, my parents, my husband, my clients, and I was getting very sick. Mm-hmm. And so that creates a lot of discomfort. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started to seek, because I had so much therapy, just so much therapy, but still I was getting very ill and a lot, and still anxious, still depressed, still feeling insecure after all that therapy. So it was at that time that I started to seek a real process. And that's when inner bonding came in. And that's when I started to practice it. And that's when my life changed.
Maybe you can just describe what inner bonding means.
So inner bonding is a six-step pathway. It's a very definitive process where if people learn and practice these six steps, they're going to learn to get present with their feelings, no matter how uncomfortable they are. They're going to learn to embrace all of their feelings as information. They're going to learn how to take responsibility for their feelings rather than avoid them. They're going to learn how to access a higher source of love and wisdom to help them understand how to heal their false beliefs and what's loving to themselves. And they're going to get the strength to take loving action for themselves rather than abandoning themselves, because it's really self-abandonment that causes most of our pain. There's two kinds of painful, uncomfortable feelings. There's the feelings we cause, which in inner bonding we call the wounded feelings. This is feelings like anxiety, depression, guilt, shame, anger, aloneness, emptiness, jealousy. These are the feelings we cause from acting from our ego woundedness, from our false beliefs. And the pain that we feel is actually our soul, which is the feeling part of us, our inner child, letting us know that we're abandoning ourselves. And so those feelings are very important. And then the other kind of feelings are the feelings that come from life that we're not causing. This is the feelings like loneliness when we have nobody to share love with, or grief when we've lost someone we love, and heartbreak when, you know, we see people hurting each other, or people are hurting us or themselves, and helplessness over others and over situations in life. And so these are very hard feelings. And when we were young, we were not equipped to manage these deeper, painful feelings of life. And yet many of us had them. We lost a parent, or we were abused in some way, or we were ridiculed in school or bullied, or, you know, all kinds of things happened to us when we were young. And we felt these deep feelings of helplessness and heartbreak and loneliness and perhaps grief. But we couldn't handle them unless we had parents who knew how to handle theirs. And I certainly didn't. Most people didn't. So we had to learn ways to avoid those deeper feelings. And the ways that we learn to avoid them now create the wounded feelings, because we learned to disconnect from our body, where our feelings are, and go up in our head. Well, when you're in your head, it's like if a child comes to you upset, and instead of being present with the child, with your caring, you're just in your head into your computer or something, that child's going to feel rejected. We learn to judge ourselves, and that makes us feel abandoned and rejected on the inner level. We learn to numb out with various addictions, substance addictions, and activities and processes. And again, these are all ways of avoiding those deeper feelings. And then we learn to make others responsible for our feelings. Like, somebody else has to make me feel loved. Somebody else has to create my sense of safety and self-worth. Well, that's also like, again, if you had a child, instead of wanting to love the child, you kept trying to give the child away to somebody else, then that child's going to feel abandoned and rejected. And that's what we do to ourselves. And that's what creates all those painful, wounded feelings, the anxiety, depression, and so on. And then we avoid those, and it becomes a vicious circle. And so then, you know, people will take medication or overeat or drink alcohol or whatever to avoid the very feelings that they're creating with their self-abandonment, and it just keeps getting worse. So inner bonding is a process for, first of all, learning to get present in your body with your feelings instead of staying up in your head. You know, you don't know what you're feeling when you're in your head. And so many of the people that I work with, I say, you know, take some deep breaths, go inside your body. What do you feel? They're so used to not feeling their feelings that they say, well, I don't feel anything, or I feel numb, or I feel empty. That's very common. Or they might be aware of feeling anxious or depressed or angry, but they don't know what to do with those feelings. And so step one is getting present in your body with your feelings and deciding you want to learn how to take responsibility for those feelings. You're not just going to do something to avoid them. Now, step two is we move into our heart. And in inner bonding, there's only two intentions. Either our intention is to learn about what we're doing to cause our pain and what our false beliefs are and what's true and what's loving, or our intention is to protect against our pain with various forms of controlling, self-abandoning behavior, which is obviously what we've been doing. So in step two, we move into our heart and we consciously open to learning. And in step two, we teach people how to access a higher self, whatever you want to call it. People can call it God or spirit or their higher self or a higher power, whatever they want to call it. Very often we'll ask people to imagine an older, wiser aspect of themselves, their higher self. And we ask them to open and invite in compassion and love and strength and wisdom from their higher self, because we don't actually generate love and compassion. We open to it. So we invite that in. And that's what creates in step two of inner bonding, what we call the loving adult. And the loving adult is who we are when we're open to learning and we're connected with our higher source of love and wisdom. Then in step three, we're going inside. We're connecting with the feelings. Let's say you went inside and you felt empty inside. And so in step three, you're going inside and you're saying to that empty feeling, which is your inner child letting you know that he or she is feeling empty inside, what am I doing? What am I telling you? How am I treating you from my ego wounded self, which exists in the lower part of the left brain? That's the part of us that's usually in charge, what we've learned to do from our false beliefs. So we're asking, what am I doing? How am I treating you? What am I telling you? What am I not doing that's making you feel empty inside? Well, if we go inside and if that part of you is willing to open to you, which it may not be if it doesn't trust you, but if it does, it might say something like, well, you ignore me. You know, you don't even know I'm here. You don't love me. You don't like me. You hate me. You judge me. You've put me in a cage. I'm not allowed to be who I am. You've silenced me. See, and so there's so many things that inner child might say when we're really open to learning about our anxiety, our depression, our anger. I mean, maybe, you know, so many people, they think their anger is coming from somebody else. But if they were to go inside, that inner child might say, I'm so angry at you because you don't take care of me. You don't stand up for me. You don't give me a voice. You let people treat me badly. I'm angry at you for not taking care of me And then when we don't listen, we project that anger out onto others and blame them, because most people haven't learned to take any responsibility from their feelings and learn from their feelings. So once we understand what we're doing, we go a little deeper. We go into that wounded part of us that's in the lower left brain, the lower amygdala. And we're asking, now we're looking for the false beliefs. And we're asking, let's say that we're finding out that we ignore our feelings and we judge ourselves. And then we're asking, well, there must be a good reason that you're ignoring the feelings and that you're judging yourself, or you're putting pressure on yourself, or you're telling yourself you're not good enough, or that you've got to be perfect, or you've got to do everything right, or you better impress these people. Why are you doing that? And that wounded part might say, well, I have to do everything right so that people will like me and then I'll be okay. And this will indicate a big false belief that our sense of self is in what other people think of us, rather than whether or not we're loving ourselves or abandoning ourselves. And so there's many false beliefs in there about who we are, about being able to control people, about what our higher power is. There's many, many, many false beliefs. Well, this is a process for uncovering them. And it's not actually that hard. It takes practice. But let's say we uncover the belief that if I'm perfect, then I can have control over people liking me or loving me, and then I'll be okay. That's a really common belief. Well, then in step 4, we again open to our higher guidance. And we're asking 2 questions. One is, what's the truth about that? Is it true that I can control how people feel about me? Is it true that there's such a thing as being perfect? Is it true that judging myself will get me to do everything right? Is it true that other people liking me or loving me defines my sense of worth and gives me my safety? There's a lot of false beliefs there. And so if we're open and we learn to connect with that higher source will come in with the truth. And that's how we start to deal with our false beliefs, that no, indeed, we don't have control over how people feel about us. And there's no such thing as perfect. And putting pressure on ourselves and judging ourselves only makes it harder for us to be productive and to be who we are and to be creative. So there's so many false beliefs that we can go to the truth about with our higher guidance. And then we ask, what would be loving to ourselves? And your higher guidance might say, well, start to notice your feelings. Start to notice your judgments. Start to connect your judgments with your emptiness, with your anxiety, with your numbness. You start to make the connection between these uncomfortable feelings and how you're treating yourself. That's vital. Then in step 5, you take the action. If that's the loving action, you practice it until you get good at it. I mean, there's thousands of loving actions depending on the situation. You know, spirit might say, you're so unhappy at your job. You need to look for a different job, or you need to stand up for yourself in a relationship, or speak your truth, or you need to be willing to have somebody be mad at you instead of give yourself up, or you need to be willing to go back to school, or you need to eat better. You got to stop the junk food, got to stop the sugar, got to get some exercise, get more sleep. And there's so many loving actions depending on the situation. And then in step 5, of course, we have to take the action. If we don't take the action, nothing changes. You know, it's like a child comes to you and says, I'm hungry. And you say to the child, well, thank you for sharing, but you don't give the child food. It doesn't mean anything. And this is where a lot of people get stuck, is they don't take the action that they need to take. Once you do take the action, then in step 6, you go back inside and see how you're feeling. And if you have taken a loving action, you're going to feel some relief. We always feel relief when we've taken a loving action, relief of the discomfort that we were experiencing, whatever it's about. And so That's, you know, very briefly, the six steps of inner bonding. They're very powerful. This is not an instant process. It does take devotion. It takes commitment. It takes practice. But they are deeply life-changing when people are willing to commit to them.
How do I go through them? Do you recommend to do it by yourself?
Well, there's many ways. So on our website, we have a free course. People can start to learn it. I have many books, as you know. I teach various courses online. I have courses that people can learn, like I have a course called Love Yourself. I have many courses that people can do by themselves. I have a very in-depth online program called SelfQuest. But we also have many trained facilitators. I work with people all over the world. And we have many facilitators who, again, work with people all over the world, very well trained. So if people can't afford what I charge, there's certainly somebody they could. We have Inner Bonding Village, which is a place that's inexpensive. People can join, they can ask questions, they can get support. So some people can do it on their own, but some people need support in it. And there's many ways to get the support.
Maybe we can go back to the first step.
Okay.
Because sometimes it's the hardest to start. Yeah. So from my work in therapy, I know that it's so challenging to go into the feeling if you know that it's, I can only speak for myself, but for me, this was such a big challenge. I was not aware of, because cognitively I'm super strong. And for me, I believe I am super strong. So I was thinking that in therapy, we would just think everything through. And once I needed to start feeling, that was something I would have never thought that it would be so hard for me. So do you have things that come to mind that can open or help with this uncomfortable step to start, or any, sometimes or many times there are multiple feelings, yeah, and it's all there and it has been pushed down for so long. What is there we can do to just let it maybe flow or happen a little bit?
Well, there's a number of things. One is to at least intellectually recognize that your feelings are informative. All feelings have information for you. Mm-hmm. And it's vital and very important information. So when you want that, when you want to know, when you realize that most of your painful feelings are coming from how you're treating yourself, then it makes it easier. You're more motivated to want to be with those feelings in order to understand how you're causing them, that you don't have to just live with these painful feelings your whole life. When I started to practice inner bonding, I too, like you, I was up in my head, thought I was really strong. I'd had a ton of therapy, but I was trained to be a caretaker, which means that I was very tuned into other people's feelings. But I had been taught that my feelings did not count at all. I wasn't allowed my feelings. So I had no idea what I felt about anything. Even though I'd had all these years of therapy, I'd never focused in on my feelings. So the challenge for me was to even remember to get inside my body. It was really hard for me to remember. I was in my head, used to being in my head, used to being, you know, taking care of everybody else's feelings. I just couldn't remember to even tune into my own feelings. So I did a lot of things. I put sticky notes around. I wore a rubber band and I wore a little gadget called a motivator, which buzzes against your body. You can set it for any amount of time. People can use their phones for this too. At that time, there weren't any cell phones. So I set it for every 5 minutes to buzz against my body to remind me just to breathe inside, use my breath to go inside my body and just notice what I was feeling. And once I noticed, since Spirit had downloaded inner bonding, then I knew what to do after that. I knew to do the steps of inner bonding, but I had to notice them in order to even do the steps. And so I set the motivator for every 5 minutes, then every 10 minutes, and every 15, then half an hour. And eventually it did take time, but eventually I trained myself to live in my body, not in my head. But people have to have patience and determination, because it doesn't happen all of a sudden. I mean, I didn't really know what I was doing at that time. I had nobody really, you know, Dr. Erica Chopich and I were both struggling with learning this process that had been given to us. And neither of us had spent a lot of time in our bodies with our feelings. And so it took me, I'd say, a good 2 years because I didn't have anybody helping me. Now, the people I work with can do it a lot faster. But at that time, I had to be really determined. But now, and see, that's made a huge difference in my life. It's what I call having your inner baby monitor on. Like if you have a baby and you really want to be a good parent, you don't just put the baby in bed and go out to lunch, right? So you have a baby monitor on and the baby cries and you go and pick up the baby and figure out what does the baby need. You know, does the baby need a diaper change or is the baby hungry or need to be rocked or whatever? So now I call it having your inner baby monitor on, where you're listening for anything other than peace and fullness. And the minute you feel that, you're inquiring about what's happening. How are you treating yourself? Or what's happening with somebody else? It's the same thing like with a baby. You know, it was really amazing to me when I had my first child. I had been a very deep sleeper. But from the moment my son was born, I really wanted to be a good mom. And from the moment my son was born, all he had to do is go, eh, and I was wide awake. I heard every little peep. It took no practice at all. And that's because I was very motivated. It was really important to me to be a loving mom. But for most of us, we're not motivated to be loving to ourselves. We've never recognized that that's our responsibility. We're devoted to having control, whether it's with anger or blame or compliance, giving ourselves up, some way of having control, doing everything right, being perfect, over getting love rather than being loving. Now, with a baby, you know, it's not that baby's job, or I hope most parents know it's not the baby's job to give them love. It's the parent's job to love the baby. Well, it's the same thing on the inner level, except most people don't know that and don't think that. But really, when people really want to be loving to themselves, it doesn't take that long to learn to get inside their body.
And that's why, for me, this picture was so strong with this inner child, because just to imagine there's something inside of me that needs care, that is not, and you use this picture of the grown-up, no? So you have this grown-up person and we are supposed to play grown-ups. That's, I can so connect to that because I feel like at some point it was just expected that I am a grown-up now and I behave in a certain way. And there, I feel such a relief when I hear and I get somehow external confirmation also for something that I think we deeply inside of ourselves already know, yeah, that it's not true if we play to be someone that we're obviously not. And that maybe is also too one-dimensional for being honest and for being truly alive. So I find it so helpful, this picture. And I was wondering, is it, because for me, sometimes it makes it easier to, I don't say I'm there yet, but it makes it easier to be loving with myself when I connect to the fact that I'm also doing it for others. So to be a good mom, I know that I need to be loving myself so that I don't get into the position of needing love from him. And also for my partnerships, my friendships, the people I work with, that helps me.
Yes, that's very helpful. That's very motivating. It's important for people to understand that this lower left brain, this is the part of us that is naturally instinctive regarding fight or flight. This is an instinctive mechanism. But what happens is that we absorb false beliefs, and that becomes the wounded ego part of us. And that part thinks that's who we are because it decided a long time ago that we're not good enough. Because if we weren't loved, like I didn't get love as I was growing up. So I decided that I didn't get love, not because my parents didn't know how to love me, but because I wasn't good enough. And that's the basis of this wounded self, that there's something wrong with us. We're defective. We're unimportant. We're not good enough. That part of us, that's the false self that we created as part of our survival. And so that's that part you're talking about. That's, you know, that's, that doesn't have depth. That's superficial. That's the part that's very controlling. That's the point of that part, is to have control over getting love, avoiding pain, and feeling safe. That's the agenda of the wounded self. And because it's already decided that who we are in our soul is defective, it just completely disconnects from that part of us, doesn't even know anything about it. With inner bonding, we learn to discover the beauty of our true self, our soul, the spark of the divine that's within each of us. We're each an individualized expression of the divine. That's our soul. And that soul generally communicates through feelings. That's what we call the inner child. And it makes it easier for us to want responsibility for that part of us when we imagine that as an actual child inside of us. Most people don't think about taking responsibility for their feelings, but they do think about taking responsibility for a child. And so that helps them learn to take responsibility for their feelings. And by practicing inner bonding, that wounded part, the false beliefs in that wounded part, eventually get healed. Because as you start to learn to take loving care of yourself, you can no longer be telling yourself that you're not good enough, that you're defective, because that soul in us is absolutely perfect. It's a part of the divine. How can it be anything less than perfect? And so that's a huge false belief of the wounded self, that there's something wrong with us. But what that did is it gave us a sense of control when we were young. Like, if it was my fault that I wasn't getting loved, then I could try and do it right. I could try and be perfect. I could get good grades. I could caretake people. And then maybe I would have control over getting love and avoiding pain and feeling safe. You see, so it's a very deep belief that's part of our survival that we adopted in order to try and have some control over getting love and avoiding pain and feeling safe. The problem is we forgot that we created that part of us. And then we think that's who we are. And that part of us is defective. We created it. Spirit created our essence, but we created our wounded self. And it's that part of us is not good enough. And so when we tell ourselves we're not good enough, it's really that part talking about itself. Let me briefly go through where these parts of us are in the brain, because, and I don't know if you know of Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor. She wrote a book called My Stroke of Insight. She's a neuroscientist, and she had a stroke at 37, and then she's had a recent book called Whole Brain Living. And I know her, and we've had some conversations about the fact that what she's discovered in the brain absolutely lines up with what we discovered now 38 years ago with inner bonding. So like I said, the lower left brain is where that ego wounded self is. The lower right brain is where the soul is, the inner child. This is the part of us that needs nurturing. Now, the upper left brain is like the masculine aspect of our brain. It's the part that takes action in the world. And the upper right brain is the feminine aspect, the creative aspect. And this part of our brain naturally is able to connect with our higher source of wisdom and love and comfort. Babies are born able to do that, but unfortunately, many of us suppress that ability because it wasn't supported. It certainly wasn't supported in my household. The problem that happens when we suppress our ability to connect is that the inner child is left abandoned. There's no part of us that's actually nurturing that. And the actions of our higher left brain are now being informed by our lower left brain, which is young. It's a child. It's an adolescent. It's, like I said, filled with false beliefs. And if you look around the world and see the chaos that's going on, it's because the upper left brain is being informed by the lower left brain, being informed by so many false beliefs. And we're just self-abandoning. As we practice inner bonding, we develop new neural pathways in the higher brain, and we develop our ability to access in our right brain our higher source of love and truth. When we can do that, then the actions of our left brain are now being informed by the love and truth of the right brain. It's a completely different way to live. And the upper right brain is now able to bring nurturing, care, and comfort to the inner child. So, you know, if you just look around the world and you see what's happening, you realize that so many people are just operating from their wounded self and they don't realize it. They don't realize that the actions they're taking are hurtful to them, to others, to the planet, to our whole society. But if people learn and practice inner bonding and develop these new neural pathways in their higher brain, then they start to access the love and the truth, the comfort, the nurturing that they need to take loving care of themselves and to share their love with others. We don't have love to share with others when we're abandoning ourselves. But when we learn to love ourselves, when we access that higher love and we fill ourselves up, that love overflows and we want to share it with others. We become philanthropic. We become altruistic. We become humanitarians because we are all filled up with love. We want to express it. We want to share it. That's what needs to happen on our planet.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot. All this violence. I read The Body Keeps the Score.
Yes.
And it was surprisingly optimistic to hear how healing, even with deeply wounded people, can work. So, and there I read about these abuse cycles and how abuse, violence just creates more violence. And I feel like we are so illiterate when it comes to ourselves. And also, and maybe that's also a left brain part that is so focused on the on something tangible that it just dismisses how everything inside of us creates everything that's outside. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because the left brain is so devoted to control, It becomes very greedy and it wants more and it wants more because being in the left brain creates that emptiness. And maybe if I have more money or I have more sex or I have more power in the world or whatever, then maybe I'll feel safe and full inside, which of course never works because it's not going to come from anything external. It's going to come from learning to love yourself. And you're right. All this violence, it's so sad, but it has been handed down through many generations. Now, I work with many people over these years. I've worked with so many who have had incredible amounts of trauma, whether it's from child abuse, severe child abuse, wars, disasters, but much trauma. Now, the good news is that there is a part of our soul that has never been injured, that is whole. There is a whole part in all of us. And what's so interesting about trauma is there's many trauma therapies and they're very good, like emotional freedom technique or somatic experiencing or EMDR. There's many good trauma therapies. But what I found over these years is that unless people are also doing inner bonding, what they do there doesn't last because when you continue to abandon yourself, you're re-traumatizing yourself. You're treating yourself the way your parents treated you or treated themselves or where religious leaders or other situations. We absorb the wounded selves of the authority people around us. And then that part of us treats ourselves the ways that we were treated or the ways they treated themselves. And we re-traumatize ourselves. The trauma therapies work great as long as we're also learning to love ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm very interested in the external world that can shake everything up. Yeah. So I can speak for myself. So I'm in touch with myself and I feel and I work and I don't say I'm there yet, but I can be loving with myself. So that's something good, I find. And then I go into an external situation with other people, maybe something conflict, something with tension. And I feel the vibes and I'm trained, as you said before, to more tune into feelings of others than particularly in feelings with myself. So when we look at discomfort, at people who maybe have experiences of being marginalized, no, which is something that plays a big role, I, as a female, maybe learned that I'm not as much of worth as other people around the table. Yeah, so I sit there in a work situation. I love myself, but it's so much external triggers and there's so much happening and so much energy and conflict. How can I, in these moments, stay true to myself?
Yeah, and this is, you see, this is again what happens as you practice inner bonding, because every situation is different. And let's say you're in a situation at work, or you're in a situation with a partner or a friend, and somebody is in their wounded self and they're angry, or they're blaming, or they're controlling, they're attacking, they're behaving in a way that's, of course, difficult and uncomfortable. It's not like there's a cookie cutter way of responding. And this is why it's so important to, number one, be able to tune into the fact that this doesn't feel good. And then very quickly to be able to open to your higher source. As people practice this, they realize that that higher self, which does know what to do, is always there. It is never not there. And as we develop our higher right brain, we get to access that in the moment. So if I'm in a situation with somebody who's, let's say, attacking me, for example, verbally attacking me, I can feel that that's scary. It doesn't feel good. But I can immediately go to my higher guidance and say, what's loving to me right now? What's in my highest good right now? Now, it may be to disengage from the person and just not be around it. It may be to open to learning with the person if there's a possibility of doing that. It may be that that person just needs some comfort and will open if I'm, you know, very caring about them. Maybe they got triggered into a lot of fear, but they may respond. So it depends on the situation, depends on the person. Sometimes, like if it's a work situation and we can't disengage and speaking up doesn't work, then the loving action may be to just go inside and hold our inner child and let ourselves know that this has nothing to do with us. And that if this kind of situation continues over and over again, we're going to try and change jobs or find a way to deal with it so that we don't have to keep being at the other end of an abusive situation. But what's really important for people is, with enough practice, they get the experience that there is that higher source that's always looking out for you. Your wounded self thinks that having control is going to keep you safe, but really, the wound itself knows nothing about keeping you safe, nothing whatsoever. It's young, it's a child, it's an adolescent, it knows nothing. But your higher self knows everything about keeping you safe. And so learning to stay open to learning with your higher self throughout a day, eventually, I mean, it blows me away what my higher guidance lets me know all the time. She lets me know if I forgot something. She lets me know if I have to watch out for something. She has saved my life a number of times by letting me know ahead of time something that I need to pay attention to. So I've learned over the many years I've been doing this that my safety is not in trying to control from my young wounded self. My safety is in staying open to learning and connected with that higher guidance. But in order to do that, you have to be willing to let go. And a lot of people say, oh no, I can't let go. God is controlling. God is judgmental. There's something up there that's going to tell me what to do. Something up there is going to control me. I can't let go. And that's why I ask people to imagine their older, wiser self instead of some concept of something there that's going to control them. And really, truly, as people practice it, they start to feel safer and safer because they really get the experience. They don't just have to believe it. I grew up with no spirituality whatsoever. My parents were atheists. I had no concept of it. But I had had some experiences that let me know that there was something there that I could access. Yeah. And then with inner bonding, I started to practice it and realize, wow, I am never alone. I am always being guided in my highest good.
And also maybe, is there a part of intuition?
It's all connected. See, yeah. our soul inside, which has the intuition, is part of, I mean, this is our higher soul and this is our inner soul. Our soul is very big. And a part of our soul is in our body, which is our inner child. And the rest of our soul is all around us. And so it's all one. And so we can tune in. We have two sources of guidance. Yeah. We have our inner soul, which is our intuition. We have our higher soul, which can tune into things that are happening that we don't know about. And my guidance usually communicates with me through words or images, pictures. My inner child communicates with me through the feelings, the intuition. And so we have these two sources that are really infallible, infallible. And our wounded self knows nothing about that.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, I find it hard to believe in, it's very hard, but I know this feeling of deep love and trust. And so maybe it's just everyone finds a different word for it. I like the higher self. Yeah. So it's something that's inside, but also outside. And as someone who can feel the energy, I so know it's true. So I just feel it. I can just feel it. And I can feel I feel answers. And I know if I really listen, and it's hard for me sometimes, but sometimes when it works, this is really powerful. And it makes me very optimistic, especially in times like these when I sometimes feel like hope is a hard thing to do. So,
yeah. But you know, there's a form of photography called Kirlian photography where they can take a picture of the energy coming off your body. You can see the energy. And of course, some people can see that energy. I can see that at times, the energy coming off the body. And that's our soul. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that energy, like you can pick up people's energy. Mm-hmm. You can, you're sensitive to their energy. That's what you're picking up. And so, you know, it's not that far-fetched to think that this energy around us can tune into so many things, can have a different perspective on what's happening than our wounded self has that's just coming from fear and false beliefs.
Okay, there would be so much more I can talk about, but I have some final questions and then we're coming already, sadly, to the end. I just wanted to hold the thought about security and how, because you were mentioning it before I entered with my point, the safety is such a big concept to have in mind. Where am I getting my safety from? And is it this false belief of control and controlling everything, which is obviously never going to work? Or do I find the alternative and open up for exploring that, however I might call it, feel it, experience it? I find that very beautiful. And yeah. And also, it's a little bit revolutionary in a world that is dominated by right brain action.
And no, by left brain action.
Left brain, yeah.
Right, in that's a world right. Yeah, by left brain. That's right. It's been dominated. And that's why it's time for women to move into their power, because women are more right brain and have an easier time of accessing that. And, you know, if you look around the world where there's so much conflict, it's often a man dictator who is in charge and operating out of that ego wounded self. So I think it's time to have more balance in our world between the masculine and the feminine, and not just leaving the feminine out.
Exactly. Also in everyone who's has a male. Yeah. So
yes,
relearning this, to access this, is something, it's a privilege that we have that many men in the world don't. Yeah, they're getting socialized in a different way, and so those who have this access can help them to re-access.
Yeah.
Learn.
Yeah. And fortunately, there are some very, very good men in the world at this point that are more balanced in their brain, obviously, and are speaking up and standing up and taking action to deal with the problems in our world.
Yeah. And we are getting more fluid and more open to more than two concepts of who we are allowed to be. And I so wish for us to just focus on being human and discussing what it means to be human and how we can free ourselves from anything that is just like gender concepts that just put something on you and ask you to behave in a certain way so that you're supposedly perfect and right and in control and just opens up. I really wish for that to happen.
So do I.
My final questions. Where can listeners find your work? You mentioned your course program.
Yeah, at innerbonding.com. Yeah, just go to innerbonding.com. I also have once a week, I have a free podcast that can really, really help people with inner bonding. So there's so many ways that they can learn it. There's many, many free articles on the website. There's just so many ways of learning. People don't have to spend a lot of money if they don't have it in order to do that.
And your books, I mean, I already said it in the beginning, I love them. And it really helped me to let this grow on me also. Yeah. Do you have books that come to mind that changed your way, how in the way that you see the world?
I do. In fact, one of them, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. It's one of my favorite books. It's been a guiding light in my life. And then there's books that people wouldn't know about. There's one called Authenticity and Reality is one of them by a man named Bill Hoffman. But nobody can find that. I at that time, I was really doing in-depth work with humanistic existential psychology. And these books were very powerful in my life.
Your topics, as I said, I find it revolutionary. And to a certain extent, to just speak this truth that I think we deeply know is true, that makes other people uncomfortable as well, right?
Sometimes it does. But, you know, more and more people around the world are embracing inner bonding, which is wonderful because there's been so much unhappiness that I think so many people are ready for something revolutionary.
Yeah. How do you deal with people that are maybe reacting defensive or feel threatened?
I don't try and control anybody. I don't try to convince anybody. You know, there's so much information that if they really want to learn it, they can do it. But it's not my job to convince anybody to practice inner bonding.
And if you make someone feel uncomfortable, is that what you would recommend? If I transfer it to my world, it's like I'm a female, I come into a room full of men and I threaten them if I want to or not sometimes. Huh? It doesn't have to be that way. So they feel uncomfortable just sometimes just by my existence or the way I speak.
That's right. Or the way you look.
Anything really. And this form of being uncomfortable and feeling it in others, that I do it to them.
You can notice it. You can feel compassion towards them. That they feel inadequate, that they feel insecure around you, they feel less than, or they wouldn't be uncomfortable. But that's their issue. That's not your issue.
Is there anything you would have done or would like to do that you think I, myself, or the listeners should do as well? Anything?
See, I do what I like to do, but I just really want to encourage people to find out who they are in their soul and manifest that. To discover their creativity, their beauty, their brilliance. Everybody's got brilliance inside of them. Everybody came here to manifest the gifts that we've been given and to just continue to explore that and discover that.
Thank you so much for everything, for your work and the interview. Thank you.
You're welcome. You take care.
Ich hoffe sehr, dass dieses Gespräch auch für dich eine Bereicherung war. Für mich war es das auf jeden Fall. Und ich habe auch tatsächlich die Arbeit mit dem Buch von den beiden Frauen sehr gut arbeiten können. Und es hat auch mich in meiner Arbeit sehr geprägt und findet auch in meinen Kursen indirekt immer wieder statt. Insofern die Einladung nochmal, diesen inneren Dialog für dich einfach vielleicht als ein Thema zu erkennen. Vielleicht arbeitest du dazu nicht unbedingt mit dem Buch. Vielleicht reicht dir einfach diese Folge auch schon, um ja vor allem auch die Gespräche, die du mit dir selbst führst, vielleicht nochmal aus einer anderen Perspektive wahrzunehmen und auch ernst zu nehmen als etwas, was eben ein wichtiger Teil deines Lebens ist und was eben auch aufmerksam, achtsam geführt werden darf, liebevoll geführt werden darf. Und damit möchte ich hier auch schließen und danke dir für deine Zeit, dass du mir zugehört hast hier. Vielleicht ist ja diese Folge für andere Leute auch noch interessant. Dann freue ich mich riesig, wenn du sie einfach weiterleitest an Menschen in deinem Umfeld. Und überhaupt freue ich mich sehr, wenn der Podcast geteilt und weiterempfohlen wird. Ganz herzlichen Dank dafür. In diesem Sinne, eine schöne Woche wünsche ich dir. Ich freue mich riesig, wenn wir uns hier nächste Woche wieder hören. Bis dahin und alles Liebe, deine Vera.